welcome to Life with the Girlfriends. We're Christine Marie and Julie.
And I'm Christine Marie. And can I say around here they call me Mama.
They do call you Mama.
That's right.
And even if I wasn't your daughter, which I am.
They still would call me Mama.
That's just the name you've given
yourself.
That's
right.
And so regardless of what's going on in the world, you're still known as Mama. And I'm all right with that. It is a Memorial Day weekend here.
Yes.
And what a beautiful, we're having a great weekend. It's beautiful. It's cool in the Midwest and in Northern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And to most people who are trying to get their pool out and going, it would be like, my gosh, why are we having this cold weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And for me and other people like me, it's like, oh, we know the heat is coming, but to have this just gentle rain and coolness. And
I always think, I'm more of a practical girl, you know.
Uh-huh.
I always think that on when we have Memorial Day weekends like this, which is in the 40s and 50s, I just think it saves lives. I think people aren't, you know, out drinking and driving and being really crazy and going to, you know, the rivers or the, you know, the lakes and doing all that kind of crazy stuff because it's just too cold. So I'm always kind of a practical gal that way.
And you also love the cold.
Yes, okay, you busted me. I don't mind having a nice jacket on. I prefer it, actually.
Well, because we know the heat is coming, don't we? And so we know it's here. We've had it earlier in the month, and it's just nice, the breath of fresh air, to get a little bit of a break and to enjoy this time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know that we're not only enjoying this weekend, but we are definitely enjoying this radio show tonight.
Absolutely. Well, we've got our first guest he's not in a cold snap, I'm sure. He's from Arizona, so we know how that goes.
Right.
That's like 90 degrees, 100 degrees.
All the time, even in the winter time. I don't know. It's just nice.
That's why people move there, Julie.
Exactly. That's why they have snowbirds. But our first guest is Peter Sorrells, and I'm going to have to ask him again how to pronounce his last name because
you forgot.
I didn't have my pen to write it down correctly, and so you know how you do that. I'm going to be needing brain food soon. I don't know if that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll go back to. You know, I see when you walk in the aisles of the grocery store, there's a lot of brain food for babies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about taking that because as soon as I remember something, I'm going, oh, remember it this way, remember it this way, this way, this way, this way. And then a second later, I'm going, what was that again?
Mm-hmm.
And I revert back. What's that about?
There's a book on that. You need a book for that, Julie.
I do need a book. And I need to interview somebody who can help me with my brain symptoms. You know?
We'll have to tell. Peter, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And, you know, Jules just talking about how she couldn't remember, you know, how to pronounce your last name. Could you give it to us again, Mr. Peter?
You can say Sorrells or Sorrells. Either one is technically correct.
Aw.
And I've always wished I had a simple name like Dave Smith or something like that.
Well, I kind of like Sorrells. What are you feeling? What are you feeling, Jules?
I like Sorrells too.
Do you?
I'm going for it.
Okay,
that's
but if we say Sorrells, it's kind of cool too. It's both of them are cool names, really.
Well, and so you have a cool name, Peter. So I'm going to give you the cool treatment and tell people about who you are. Your website is bestbooksllc.com, and your book is 100 Ways to Save and Grow Your Money. Financial Fitness for Regular People. I love it. 100 Ways to Save and Grow Your Money. And I like the second part, too, Financial Fitness for Regular People, which is who I am. But you hold 8 patents. You're a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering. You have a degree from the University of Arizona. I mean, you're just a really, really cool person. I mean, you've got successful engineering, marketing, and management positions in half a dozen of high-tech companies. You know, you've worked all over the world. And, you know, you have your first Amazon bestseller, 100 Ways to Save and Grow Your Money, Financial Fitness for Regular People. And I'm going to ask this in the interview, but you originally wrote the book in 1990, but I thought this was a great fact about your book. You didn't publish it until the late 2009 when you had a couple of, I'm going to say, bumps in the road financially and what you learned from that and the new tech that's out there. So I want to ask you about that when we get going on the interview here. And if you don't mind me tooting your horn a little more, Peter. You work with your church a lot, which I love, but you're a facilitator for Financial Peace University Groups, which, if anybody knows what that is, that's, you know, Dave Ramsey Group, right?
Yeah. We love Dave Ramsey. Love him.
So you are a man after our own hearts. Your financial wisdom is awesome. So, you know, I'm just going to go right down into the interview and just start asking you some questions. So, you know, tell us about this book, about your life, and what caused you to venture outside of the engineering, because I know people who are engineering degrees, that's their love, that's their passion, you know, and what got you into the business side of high tech and into real estate?
Well, I guess I'm sort of a man with too many hobbies. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, when I first graduated from college and started working in high tech, and my wife was working as well, that was kind of what we were going to do. Then our first child was born, and he's a special needs kid, and as the years have gone on, he's needed more and more and more. And so I started kind of looking for ways to, you know, to increase the family's finances and to take care of him. She wasn't able to work after that. She's taking care of him. And so my first disaster in real estate was about that time, probably 6 or 7 years into our adult life together. And it was just one little rental house, but it didn't end well. I didn't choose well, and it didn't end well. And so I set out to kind of write down some ways to save money and avoid the mess I'd gotten into. And I thought, well, maybe some other people would be interested in this too. And it kind of grew and grew until it was 100 ways. But I never published it. You know, life kind of happened. Another kid came along, broken cars, broken house, whatever. And so every few years I would take it out and blow the dust off and do a little more work on it. But then in the mid-2000s, the real estate in our area, especially in Arizona and in Florida, the two places I bought property, it was just exploding. And so I ventured back into real estate, only this time in a very big way, you know, with all of our savings. And when the bottom fell out of that market, we lost everything.
Oh, sure.
And it was a big mess. I take full responsibility for my mess. We're still recovering from it. But after that happened, you know, I spent a lot of time just sulking. And, you know, I was kind of, I don't know if you've ever seen that old movie, Airplane, and the main character, whenever he starts telling his sad story, people start hurting themselves around him because it's so depressing. Well, that was me. And, you know, people would ask me, how are you, you know, wanting a fine, okay, and I would tell them, you know, and it was not good. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of stuck there. Mm-hmm. And then I started reading some things by some other authors, Brian Tracy and Steve Chandler and people like that. And and I kind of started getting unstuck, and I thought, well, what can I do? And I have this old manuscript from 20 years ago, so I completely rewrote it. And now the technology's changed. I was able to self-publish, and so that's how it got out there.
That's so awesome. You know, you mentioned to me, as you know, Julie and I are coaches, and one of the things that we hear so much, and you alluded to this just now, is that, you know, even though, you know, we may smarten up and we get it, we still have to live with the residue of the consequences of those mistakes. How do you, you know, encourage people when they're right there? You know, they're getting smarter, they're doing the things, and yet they still have to live with those darn consequences.
Well, it's really tough. You know, we've been through the, you know, creditors calling 10 times a day and, you know, certified letters coming in the mail with threats and, you know, bad things happening. And it's miserable. It's absolutely awful to go through. And when we're in the middle of that, you know, our temptation is just to look at what's the most immediate thing, and that is the disaster and the pain. And as long as we focus on that, and as long as we're, I'll use a weird word, confessing that, as long as that's what we're talking about, that's kind of where we stay stuck. And so I tell people to do kind of what I did, which is regardless of everything that's happened, where would you like to be in 4 or 5 years? mm-hmm. and start talking about that and start laying out some goals, even if you can't see the way to get there right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great quote by Dale Carnegie that I love. He said, develop success from failures. Discouragement mm-hmm. and failure are two of the surest stepping stones to success. A lot of S's mm-hmm. in that.
Beautiful.
But it's a wonderful quote, and it's absolutely true. You know, lots and lots of very successful people have had a lot of failures along the way. But failures are temporary. They're events. They're not who we are. We can choose to be someone different in a few years.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know I was just listening to, I think it was Jack Canfield or, you know, someone, or maybe it was Wayne Dyer. I don't know. But he said, I believe in, he said, the older I get, the more I believe in the law of probabilities. You know, you may have a few failures in there, but ultimately you're going to, you know, strike a successful on some certain things, which is good to know. You know, there's the faith and the hope.
And you know, I also want to say I want to say thank you for being Peter, being really honest with your story, because right now you're not. That story is being retold in so many households.
Yes.
Especially even in our area, we know people where, you know, Northern Illinois, yes, there are some areas that are recovering with the real estate market, and other areas where they're just, it's not recovering at all.
No, it's flat.
So, you know, and then you just go, okay, you know, how do you get beyond this? And I want to say something, because you talk about reading Brian Tracy in the beginning when you're going and moving on. And isn't it interesting? Because you actually wrote a chapter in one of his books. The Secret to Winning Big in 2012. How did that come to be?
well,
and would you have ever guessed
actually,
that would happen, knowing where you started off from?
You know, he became one of my heroes as I read, you know, his materials. I actually got to meet him one time at a conference, and he wouldn't remember because he met hundreds of people at that conference, but he's really he has a fascinating story of his own. But the book actually came about through a company called Celebrity Press that actually put feelers out for authors that wanted to contribute to that book. And so I participated in that with them. And it was cool. I mean, I there wasn't ever really any one-on-one with Mr. Tracy, but it was an honor to be able to contribute something to that work.
Mm-hmm. And I know that your chapter was different because it really, you know, you wrote about that painful failed business venture. You know, I just want to say that I honor that in you to be mm-hmm. so honest and open with people, because people need to hear the starting points of people's success stories. And otherwise we think, oh my gosh, they've had it so easy, or it's been okay. And so, you know, their life, it doesn't look like my life at all. And how can I be like them?
Mm-hmm.
And so forth.
I know most people just assume, like, if you're an author or, like, you know, you've got these, you know, 8 patents, and I mean, they just assume, oh, nothing ever bad happens, you know, or that you know, your story's not like my story, but
exactly,
but you know, no, your story is. So I know that you know, your books tend to mention the spiritual aspect of living and of success, and that you mix Christianity with business in your writing. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Peter?
Sure. I, you know, two things about that. One is that it's a personal thing between me and my God. I was raised in a Christian home and became a, you know, made my own decisions to become a Christian. I had my own rebellious times too. So there's a personal connection there that I feel. But there's also, you know, in the book 100 Ways, most of what I've put in there that is biblical, and there's like one scripture per chapter, is because it's ancient wisdom that's still true today.
Yes.
The book of Proverbs, I use that a lot. those truths are still true.
mm-hmm.
And so there are really two reasons. And I think that we're not just flesh and bone and animals, but we have a spiritual component to us. We have a soul, and if we run towards success only for the financial side of it and only for the building up money side of it, there are lots of examples of people who did that and died miserable.
Right.
Who you know, through overdose or or whatever. We can burn up a marriage. We can burn up our health. We can do a lot of damage to ourselves running for things just from that side of it. So mm-hmm. I think the spiritual part of us has got to be considered and got to be fed along with our body and our mind.
Mm-hmm. Tell me the do you have the proverb one? Do you have it in your head, or do you have to look it up?
Well, there were a few that I used in the book. One is whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, and whoever mm-hmm. ignores discipline comes to poverty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really true, whether a person is a believer or not, or Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. If we ignore discipline, it's hard to build anything. There's another one that says lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth.
Mm.
So, you know, I think sometimes, you know, when we're in the middle of a mess, our tendency can be to just sit and sulk about it and feel like a victim. And I was there. I mean, everything I'm talking about, I've been there. I've made more mistakes and lost more money than probably any five people that any listener knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there in the middle, stuck, where I don't know if lazy is the word, but not working toward anything being different. Just mm-hmm. home to work, and it's just going to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe that. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that setting goals and taking steps toward those goals makes things happen, and I believe that prayer makes things happen as well.
It's so true. I mean, you're right. Taking action, having a kind of a vision. You know, for lack of a vision, my people perish. And also, you know, Julie and I find Malachi. You know, those chapters are pretty eye-opening as well. You know, some of the promises that you can hold on to during tough times. But, you know, you're right. Like, nobody wants to be that guy, you know, at the party that's telling his story, like, oh, my gosh, you know, all this, you know, stuff happened. So did you have an epiphany, or did you just have to dig your way out of this, you know?
You know, I don't remember if there was a particular moment of epiphany. There's nothing like a good catastrophe to drive us to our knees and start praying when we should have been mm-hmm. praying before. And I mean, to my shame, you know, I didn't really pray at the start of this big real estate venture. I just kind of dove into it mm-hmm. and kind of uninterested about whether God thought it was a good idea or not. Would have been pretty cool if I'd asked, and maybe he could have warned me, you know, don't go in such quite a big way.
mm-hmm.
But I didn't do that. But when the bottom fell out of everything and it was a disaster and we were bankrupt, then you know, start praying again and kind of looking for some answers. And I won't say this was overnight. It was months of misery before I started to kind of see a direction to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to read, to find good materials like Brian Tracy's and Steve mm-hmm. Chandler's and Zig Ziglar. And there's so many great authors out there who's so much better than me who, you know, really their work is what kind of helped me find a rubber meets the road path to move down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the beliefs I have and the prayer, I think, kind of got me off of dead center, but then it's like, okay, well, what do I do? And reading those materials, Brian Tracy has some really, really great material about goal setting and writing down the steps to those goals, writing down 20 ways for each of those steps, and then looking at it every day. And I've always maybe paid lip service to that, but I actually started doing it, and that
mm-hmm.
that kind of moved us forward.
Yeah, that's really true. I know that there comes a point when people say, you know, I knew how to do that stuff. But then all of a sudden I woke up one morning and I was serious about it. I was very serious about it. And that seems to be like the pivoting point, you know, from taking you to just knowledge and turning it into wisdom is like, how serious am I now? You know. Go ahead, Julie. I know you have another question.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Peter.
I want to talk about the title of your book and a subtitle of your book. You know, your book, 100 Ways to Save and Grow Your Money. And the subtitle is Financial Fitness for Regular People. why did you come up with that title? Where did it come from?
Well, and I think my title's too long, by the way. I'm my own worst critic. People ask, what's the title of your book? I don't even want to tell them, but it's like, well, how long do you have? And I'll tell you the title.
You're looking at your watch.
I actually like the subtitle better because the two parts of it, fitness and regular people, that there are lots of fantastic books out there by Dave Ramsey and Laura Langmire and Sue Zorman and Robert Kiyosaki. There's lots of wonderful books. But if you look at statistics, most people have never opened a book since they left high school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are readers who read a fun book or a novel or, you know, fiction, but the percentage of us who will actually read something that will help us is small. And for most of us, looking at a book on the shelf at a bookstore that's an inch thick or an inch and a quarter thick, it just seems overwhelming, especially if we're in the middle of a mess. It's like, I don't even have time between my job and the kids and the house and the bills to brush my teeth, much less to, you know, spend 13 weeks in a course or you know, to read a big book. So I put the title Regular People on there because this is for everybody. It's been used as curriculum for high schoolers. It's great for young adults just starting out. It's great for someone in the middle of midlife like me who's got a disaster to recover from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fast and it's easy. All the steps are kind of laid out, 10 per chapter in different categories. And most of them are just easy things that anybody can do. You know, sometimes when we're in the middle of a mess, we think that, well, I've got to come up with $20,000 to fix this or whatever that number is.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, little bitty changes, that's $10 here and $15 there.
If you
can do about 15 of those things over a working lifetime, it's $1 million.
Yes.
I mean, the numbers actually work out that way.
Our book launched this week, The Clutterfly Effect, and it's about small steps yielding big results. And it is absolutely true, you know, how these small changes over the course of, you're saying, a lifetime, you know, really, really make a difference. We talk in the book about, you know, compounding interest and how, you know, amazing it is and things like leverage, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, we're kind of fans of Tony Robbins as well. And he's, there was this one course, this was years ago, but I think we were like into the fifth or sixth CD. And he says, congratulations. He says, you know, 95% of people have already dropped out, you know. And it's really true. You know that even though people have the book on their shelf or whatever, it's a very small percentage of those that will actually really do it. And so I want to say kudos to you to make the steps easy and for the regular guy, fitness for the regular person.
Thank you. And the fitness part is that, you know, the book is kind of about trimming fat here and there and just changing the way we look at things a little bit. And, you know, we don't realize how much money goes out that we're not paying attention to.
Right.
And if we can trim just a few of those little things, the difference between $100 a month negative that we're borrowing on a credit card to make ends meet, or $100 surplus that's going into to a savings account and eventually into some investments, that difference is $1 million from
you say it like that, you're like, that's how diligent we should be about our money. And because it is that little when you're adding it up month after month.
I love Dave Ramsey. He's always like, you know, he's always like, you have a $400 car payment a month? Are you crazy? You could be saving that and you know, but people do have to have that. It's like they do have that vanity, you know, to have to drive something awesome.
I wonder about vanity, and I also wonder about that's the way they've always done it. And when we were growing up, we thought as we went to be an adult, oh, my God, I'll be able to buy a car, and I'll make payments. I'll get the car I want. Wouldn't that be awesome? And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. I'm going to pay $35,000 for this car. It's got four doors, four wheels, the stereo system. Woohoo! Now, if I would have just taken that and gotten me a $10,000 car and the rest into an account earning me interest, it just takes a while to break that habit of thinking about all the goodies you could buy on credit when you're a kid, you know?
It really is, and that's part of the regular people in the title, too, is that we're not taught this in high school. Most of us are not taught it at home, and we go out there and we just do what we see around us in the culture, and it's you know, it's the difference between making it or not.
Yeah, I think you're right. I also think that we're actually taught in the other direction. We are bombarded with ads saying, hey, you can get this car with this, you know, for this payment for 80 months. And, oh, and you can buy your mattress on terms. And you can buy this on terms. And you can rent your furniture. And then all of a sudden, a newbie family or a newbie person out in the world is just loaded with payments. And they may be able to afford the payments until they are so full of payments.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what in the world is going on? So we really have to retrain that, like you said, that we weren't taught this in high school. We were actually taught
just the opposite. Well, I know I ran into somebody a couple weeks ago, and I knew that they had been having major financial issues, and they had a brand new car. And I said, oh, my gosh, everything's okay now. And they go, oh, yeah, I went bankrupt, and now I got a brand new loan. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
And then here it goes again. So, well, Peter, I know that you've got a special bonus for our listeners out there, lovelies out there. But I also want to ask you one more thing. Who do you think this book is best for? Is it for someone starting out, someone who's been in the game a long time? Who is your book best for?
Golly, I don't know if there's a best. And that's always my challenge when I post it somewhere. You know, what category do I put this book in, because it's I've had people review it from of all ages. You know, I got to speak at a small high school here locally that used it as curriculum in their life skills class, and all the teenagers loved it. And I hear from young adults in their 20s that love it, and middle age and on. So it's anybody who's in a financial mess or is having trouble getting past the bills to get some savings built up, or someone who's just starting out and wants to know, how do I avoid the mess that Mr. Sorrell's created for himself?
Okay.
Great. Okay, so I know, Peter, that you're offering a free download of not 100 ways, but 10 ways to save your money right now. And where can they go to get that download that you're giving them?
They can go to my website, bestbooksllc.com.
Great.
And there's a page that says a tab that says downloads. Click on that, and it's right there for free.
Awesome.
It's 99¢ on Amazon, but it's free on my website.
Awesome.
And it actually has a lot more than 10 ways in there. I like to
underpromise. Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard there's like 20 ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, you can go to Peter's website right now. bestbooksllc.com. And Peter, we're going to put this on our website and also Twitter about it and so forth.
Yes.
Because, you know, you've been saying it's like, oh, there's people out there that, you know, Dave Ramsey and Laura Langmire. But I want to say, I want to read a quote before you go about your book. And Peter Sorrell's book is as powerful as it is simple. In these days of financial fear and chaos, this book offers a fresh breeze of clarifying sanity. Don't spend one more day worrying about money, which is the biggest problem that I think in this country. We worry about it way so much. Get this book and see how fun and easy it is to put your life in order and be in charge of your prosperity and security once again.
Mm.
And that was the author of Fearless, Steve Chandler. So,
oh, yay.
Yay. And, Peter, thank you for being on. You've been so enlightening. And I can't wait to get my 10 steps right off the bat.
And there are 20 steps now.
Yes, and start putting them in place, because we can all go deeper with our understanding of money and doing the small changes to get us big results in the long run.
Yeah, thank you so much, Peter. We really appreciate it. And it's bestbooksllc.com. Everyone go there. And we'll put it in our social media and also in the description of this show. Thank you so much, Peter. Have a good
weekend.
Thank
you so much for having me on your program. I look forward to reading your book as well.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
Have a great day. Ah, that was wonderful. You know, Mom, you and I love talking about money. We love talking about a lot of things.
We love it. Yeah, we love it.
And what happens is we forget. I don't know about you. I'm going to just be honest with people right now. I will have my financial plan. I will write my budget, and I'll be on this train of momentum, like we might say in our book, The Clutterfly Effect. And then all of a sudden, my train might get derailed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my doing most of the time. I will see a shiny, bright object, and I will go, gosh, you know, I've been doing so well lately. Why don't I treat myself to this shiny new object, whatever it may
be?
Well,
you know, it really is programming, isn't it? It really is. I mean, how many people do that? You're not alone. You know, it's like we reward ourselves with the same thing that, you know, we're trying to, you know, the habit that we're trying to break, which is kind of crazy.
It's like rewarding myself at the end of the night for having a good food day with a big piece of cake.
Yes.
You know, that's the craziness of it all. And you're like, I might have just, you know, peeked through the new fitness regimen, and it's like, I think I'll reward myself with maybe a whole cake.
How cray-cray is that?
It's very
cray-cray. But I'm so glad, though, that we got a chance to talk to Peter, and I know the lovelies are going to take advantage of his 10, but now 20 ways to save money at bestbooksllc.com.
And
so who's next, Julie?
Who's next?
Who?
Say?
Do we even dare say?
I don't know. I mean, okay, well, yeah, we're going to say. I'm going to go right there and say it. We have now a guest, John Dowd Jr.
No.
Yes, we do.
No, don't tell me.
Yes.
And not the John Dowd Jr.
The John Dowd Jr.
No
and
way.
He is the author of the book, Heroes, Mentors, and Friends, Learning from Our Spiritual Guides. And it takes a look at who we are on the inside, enriching our lives on the outside. John has 25 years in broadcasting and is a four-time winner of Radio Inc.'s Programmers of the Year Award. Mm-hmm. Now, currently he's promoting his book, but you can hear John, which we do all the time.
We hear him all the time.
7 days, he's on with the 70s music show, 12 to 6 p.m. on Sirius XM 70. Now, on the 70s on 7, that's
right.
It. But I want to say right now, John Dowd Jr., are you there?
I'm here. Hi, ladies.
Hi,
hello.
John. I got to say, that's the way I like it. I'm doing KC for you. I'm doing some serious 70s music for you, John.
I'm telling you, when you hear it, it becomes addicting, doesn't it?
Oh, it is.
You know, I can't, if I'm sad or whatever, I turn you on and I'm just happy as can be. I'm listening to 70s music. It makes me feel so happy. And I mean, I know you probably have to say this question, but what genre of music do you love, John?
I grew up, when in our teenage years, at the age of about, and there are studies that show this, at the age of about 11 to 15 is when you discover music as a kid. So whatever decade that you're the ages of 11 to 15, that generally is going to be your first love of music. And then what happens, your mom and dad or your older brother mm-hmm. turns you on to music as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you may hear people say, well, my dad liked Frank Sinatra, so I like Frank Sinatra. And that's kind of what happened to me. My older brother turned me on to the 60s and 70s, and then I was a teenager in the 70s, so the music I play each day on Sirius XM 70s on 7 is actually the songs that I played when they were new. So it's fun, but yet kind of wild at the same time.
Yeah. And I'm going to give your radio name, J-Bo Jones. I just love to say it, J-Bo Jones.
Well, I mean, you know, and when we last spoke, when I was part of your book launch with Clutterfly Effect, on Tuesday, I left your show saying I was going to come back with DJ names for you two.
Yes. And you know what? Did you know what we talked about after that, John?
What's that?
Somebody said something about that have you ever heard that where you have your porno name? It's like the name of your first pet and the street you live on. And so I was going to be Juanita Blackie. So that was going to be my...
And so we didn't know if there was a formula
for radio names.
Is there?
I don't know if it's filtering it through the way we'd appear in porn, but here's the name. I came up with a couple names. First, I came up with one for Julie. I came up with Jam and Julie.
Good, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Another one for Jam. Jam and JP.
Love that.
I love that one.
Right. Okay. Because you wanted to have a ring to it, like a jingle they make. And then because Christine Marie is four syllables, you need to have a prefix name. So I added Madam Christine Marie.
Now, I'm going to say right now, John, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but they might as well be porn names.
it's weird how it works out.
Exactly.
I came up with another name for Julie. What do you think of this one? Oprah.
Yeah.
That's taken, isn't it? Never mind.
If it's not taken, it's mine.
Yeah.
If it's not taken, it's mine.
And, or even just how about this, John? What about the reverse of it? Harpo. I don't think that's taken.
Harpo, there you go. Well, that'll add humor if we're 80. So
that's right. I love it.
Harpo Mark.
Harpo, that's exactly right. I love it. So we're going to go right back to your book, John.
No.
I know. We can have a whole show on this. Orthography names. Great. Okay.
But heroes, mentors, and friends, learning from our spiritual guides, I want to know, what's it really about? Why'd you write the book? What was your inspiration for it all?
Well, I was in broadcasting all my life, and it was a job that brought true meaning to me. But over the last few years, as it started to wind down, I found everyone, including myself, around me, due to technology and the stresses of downsizing and the stresses of the economy, beginning to focus on what's urgent and not what's important. I saw people getting sideswiped by, management that was more focused on keeping their own jobs and not putting people first. Raises stopped coming. And the focus began to go from the people to the companies. And this wasn't just in my company. I was treated fairly and kind, but I noticed that people were just rushing around, forgetting what's important in their own lives and in the lives of their coworkers. I was, at the age of 50, I was given the biggest blessing of my life. I was fired.
Right.
And it gave me the opportunity to stop for a moment and reassess my life. And at 50 years old, I had a little bit of money in the bank. It was a few years back now. They were giving me a little bit of severance, but it wasn't something I could just stop and retire. I had to focus on what my next step was.
Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was that I had two voices. And the outside voice said, and this is a voice that I heard, what I call the outside me in my book.
Right.
The outside me was saying, you better get a job. You got to get that resume out there. You got to keep that big salary coming in. I was making, like $185,000 a year. It's a pretty good salary these days.
You bet.
And that outside voice, you can't touch that 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a voice that felt good. It was a voice that was, it seemed like the outside voice was a voice that was living under pressure. But then, on times that I would take a walk outside and in nature and have, maybe the days that after I'd have a lunch with my daughter, I'd be driving back, and then I heard another voice. And that voice, what I call the inside me. And that voice was, what about that book you've been thinking about? Do you really want to take a job in St. Louis away from your daughter who you just saw for lunch? What about the message you want to share with everybody to focus on what's important? important again and not what's urgent. And the more time, ladies, that I spent cultivating the inside voice, and what I mean by cultivating it, spending quiet time in nature, meditating, slowing down, taking my life and putting the fear of the past, the regret of the past and the fear of the future on hold, I started to discover answers and intuition that started to come through. And the more I cultivated that inside me voice, I began to discover that there was a power and a spark inside of us that lives within all of us.
Yes.
That we, when we stop to cultivate that, we discover intuition, answers, peace, and I'll go on more of that in a minute. I began to discover, you know, the books that I needed to help me make a decision, the
right.
people that I needed, the things and opportunities started to enter my life when I started to actually live it and put the fear of the future and the regret of the past aside for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what I began to discover is that we are living, breathing souls that are put on this earth to be the expression of the very power around us, the very power, call it God, call it nature, call it the universe. And when I discovered this, that this peace and harmony and the intuition that was coming through, I began to really desire it more. And then I came to the decision, take a few months and write this book. And what happened was, the book became a teacher to myself, a teacher to me to remember what's important and create a curriculum to discover who we truly are inside.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been studying a lot of this New Age thinking for many, many years. We talked, you know, about Neil Donald Walsh and Dr. Wayne Dyer and some of my mentors. But I couldn't apply it because I was in the regular 9-to-5 life.
Right.
And what I want to say to everybody listening, Heroes, Mentors, and Friends is a book about role models, positive thinking, some really heartfelt stories that I share about my broadcast career, the highs that I feel were delivered to me from a higher power, and the lows where that higher power carried me through. And that was the inspiration. The real world was the inspiration for me to write it and put out a message to first myself and then to others that if you're having a 9-to-5 life that you feel is not creating meaning, or if you feel that you're a spectator of your life and not living it, if you take the time each day, and there's some tools in the book that I share on how to do this, if you take the time each day to quiet your mind, to spend some quiet time slowing down the thought, you'll rediscover the peace that is within us all, and the answers over time will start to come to you.
You know,
and that's really what happened to me over a few years, and I can't tell you, it's changed my life.
I want to tell you that, you know, when we spoke earlier this week, we had a lot of, just for your own, you know, just to let you know, we had a lot of feedback from people who said, I really liked it when he talked about his inside, you know, the inside voice. And it really resonated with a lot of people. And, you know, what I felt when I was hearing it, John, it's like, you know, so many people in, let's just call them the 9-to-5ers, 9-to-5 world, you know, they have no problem praying, right? I'm going to pray that, you know, pray that I get this or I get that. But see, that's, as you know, you're praying to God, but then, but you have to meditate. You have to find that inside voice. You have to quiet down to hear what God says to you. You know, we can all just go, oh, I want this, and I want, you know, here, help me now, God. But, no, it takes a special, you know, it takes time to begin to hear that, you know, still quiet voice, and to get better at listening to it and to
watch that blossom and grow.
Go ahead.
Let me say this, and forgive me for keep on jumping in, because this is an important point. I want to add to what you're just saying.
Yeah.
We do pray, but we have to make room to listen back. We pray and ask God. We pray for God. We pray for gratitude. We say, hey, thank you, thank you. We pray our prayers of gratitude, or we pray and ask for things, and that's great. But the other side of that is we have to stop so we can listen to our prayers be answered with that natural intelligence and intuition. That's how God speaks to us in a lot of respects. Not, you know, we've read stories about angels, and of course I believe in angels. Like I told you the story of how the name of my book, and hopefully if we have time I'll share that again.
I hope so. I want people to learn that. That's awesome.
We have meditation and quiet time and slowing down the thought and creating space between our thoughts. And what I mean by that is just simply listening to ourselves breathe. That is where the answers come. And it may not be a voice. It may not be a voice that you hear, but it may be intelligence that's downloaded in that appears through ideas, answers, and intuitions and thoughts later on. And that, so you nailed it right there. We have to prepare and take special time to get the answers that we pray for.
Absolutely.
And then we need to trust that the answers, wherever they may lead us, are the one that they're the right ones for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many times we judge ourselves if it seems like I listened, I took the time, and then it's like, wait a minute, why isn't everything going right?
Well, you know, John, it's interesting because we had our book launch on Tuesday, but there was a lot of work that was that came before it, as you probably know, and I was tempted, to do a bit of a shortcut, and I got this, in my reflective time, I got this huge hit that it says, this there will be no shortcuts, and I really felt it was an angel that said there are no shortcuts here. I'm not saying that it's not going to, work out. I'm just saying there will be no shortcuts, and I took that to heart. And so I knew not to, I wanted to learn everything. I wanted to, be there and not take the shortcuts. And, it really worked out. I mean, I did learn a lot more. And by the way, we got Amazon number one bestseller on Tuesday.
Oh, my God, congratulations. That's
Thank
amazing.
You. That was awesome, right?
Wow.
And it was strange because...
So happy.
Yeah, well, at noon, Julie said, oh, my gosh, Mom, we're number, 10. And I really did hear the voice, God say, give me a little bit more time, just give me a little bit more time. And really by 4:30, we had hit number one. So it felt like, it was really doing the hard work, but it was also listening, really listening to that still small voice, that inner voice.
Well, when you guys heard that voice and you heard that intuition and you believed in it because you believe in yourselves.
Right.
And we have to believe in ourselves and believe we are worthy of greatness, worthy of great things. Think of all the time, and you did it on Tuesday, that you reached a level of greatness that you knew you had help with. Whether it's acing a test at college or making a baby, raising a beautiful child, or having great success at work. I talked about a couple of stories in the book about that. That is the higher version of who we are. Mm. That is the higher self. That is the very God that helps us, and the very higher version of us that is God. That is the version of us that were here before we're born, and the version of us that is here after we die. It is our living soul. And our physical version of that is our individualized version of who we truly are. And that is a piece of God on earth. So when we tap into that higher self, that bigger part of us, that side that has already seen our success, it is waiting for the outside me, the outside voice to catch up and believe it. That's when true peace and happiness and grace enters our lives. But we have to believe it, and we have to call it to us.
I love it.
It won't come to us without us letting that in through quiet time and meditation and believing and breathing, you know? Yeah. There's a great quote. I love this quote in the Bible, and it's in Genesis 2.7. It says, "And the Lord God formed us of the dust on the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Yes.
That's who we are. And the breath that we can listen to quietly every night is our entryway, our portal into our higher self.
Oh, absolutely.
And if we trust in that every night, we will believe and start to see the answers come through.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I'd love to just sit and chat with you about this all night long. But can you tell the story of how the title that I love, which is Heroes, Mentors, and Friends? Can you tell that story about how you got that download, John?
Well, thank you. Thank you for asking and giving me the time to share with it. It really, it's what sits by me every day. I have a little, my office is my studio, and I have a special place where I meditate, and I have copies of the book everywhere, and I have even a big poster-sized cover of the book of Heroes, Mentors, and Friends. I was at a Dr. Wayne Dyer seminar right after I got let go back a few years back. I was at a Dr. Wayne Dyer seminar in Boston, and I'm a big, big, big believer in his work, and I'm a big believer in the Hay House brand because I love their message.
Yes, absolutely.
So I went to the seminar, and Wayne was about finishing up, and he was bringing on Carolyn Mace, another great Hay House author. And as she walked on the stage, a vibration, a very strong vibration of energy came flying off the stage, almost like an illuminated sign, but soft like a pillow, that rushed into my head. And the sign said, and I'm not kidding, Heroes, Mentors, and Friends.
Mm-hmm. Just give you goosebumps.
And about a few months later, I got a chance to speak to Wayne Dyer about it, and I got to talk to him on his radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he believes it was angels. Mm-hmm. It was an angel.
You bet.
And in later time, I found out that Carolyn Mace's mentor is the great writer Joseph Campbell, who wrote Hero of a Thousand Faces.
Yes. So, Hero of a Thousand Faces. How awesome.
Yeah,
is that?
And I did not have a name of the book before that. It just came to me like that. And I was open.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to say about the title, for me, whenever I say it, I it hits me on several levels. I see it at the 3D world, you know, Heroes, Mentors, and Friends, and how we, you know, like when you open your heart. But then I see it as, you know, our internal heroes, that internal mentors, you know, and friends, whether they be angels, the cherubim, the seraphim. I mean, that's how I feel it, at that frequency.
Yeah, I mean, every day, with the smallest act of kindness, we can be a hero, mentor, or friend to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But one small act of love and kindness can actually change someone's life. And that's really what the message in the book is about, how we truly are and can be angels on earth to everyone around us. And once we understand how important we are to each other, and once we, our true journey on earth is service to others and giving
absolutely
to others. When we can give to others, we give to ourselves.
It's so true. I mean, I know, Julie, we've got to wrap up, but it's so true, John. I mean, I when I got that right in my soul, you know, it's like I know that the first thing I want to ask someone is, how can I be of service to you? What can we do to be of service to you? When I got that right, you know, it was everything sort of became in alignment for me, you know.
That's exactly what is supposed to happen. Once we can understand that we are here for others, and we can live in a place of just love. You know, in one of the chapters of my book, I call vertical thinking, and I believe that there's a code of words that was given to us from, you know, the great teachers, Jesus, Buddha, Moses: love, compassion, forgiveness, understanding, acceptance, enjoyment. Mm-hmm. I call that vertical spiritual thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Those are words of divinity. And when we use those words and bring them into our lives and use them with others every day and react to our daily situations using that list of words, we are that much closer to the divinity and the divine being in us and living that every day.
Yeah. I know, Julie, that John has a special...
Yes. John, do you want me to tell... I mean, you've got an offer for our lovelies. It's a very special offer, and you want to say it, or should I tell it?
You say it, because I love hearing your voice, so say it.
Thank you, John. Okay, well, John Dunn has been so generous that over the next 24 hours, if you join his email club, which he sends out the most amazing emails,
yes, awesome.
Wonderful quotes, he really is a giver, and
yes.
He's amazing.
He walks his talk,
He
sure.
walks his talk. You get a free copy of Heroes, Mentors, and Friends.
What?
While the supply lasts.
What?
So,
what?
And if the supply runs out, I think on your website, Heroes, Mentors, and Friends, there's also an audio version of Vertical Thinking. Is that true, too?
Yes. Yeah. JohnDowJr.com.
JohnDowJr.com. Now, I want to have this in our Twitter and also on Facebook and also on our blog. You have to go to John@heroesmentorsandfriends.com. Just email him. Say, hey, if there's still 10 available, or I want one of them, or if there's one available, I want one.
They have to join his, his email so they can get the daily message as well.
Yeah, you can either email me. As you said, John@ heroes, mentors, and friends.com, and. You can join right there on my website. There's a button, a tab that says join. So fill out that form. It's a quick name and email. It's totally free. But in the field, make sure you say you heard it on Christy Marie and Julie's show. Or if you email me and simply email me, I will put your name in automatically, and then you'll send me your address, and I'll send you the book.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, I just want to say thank you, John, so much for being on our radio show tonight.
Yes. Exactly. And he said Christine Marie, he didn't say Madam Christine Marie.
Well,
Jen and Judy and Madam Christine Marie.
I love it.
Ladies, thank you so much. Congratulations
on
launching your book, and please invite me back. I love talking to
you. Oh, you bet. And we're going to give you, the next time it'll be a full hour. We got so much to talk about. We got a gab.
I would love that. I got to go. I got to go play Boogie Oogie Oogie by the Taste of Honey.
There you go. Thank you.
That's the way. I like it.
I like it.
Oh, lovely. We have had a great, great radio show tonight.
Yeah.
Two wonderful men just talking about their books, great books.
And their journeys. You know, just like Joseph Campbell, you know, that journey, that hero's journey is so important. And Julie, we did, with the Clutterfly Effect, we were number one on Amazon this week.
Yay!
Amazon bestseller. Yay for
it
us.
It was wonderful. We did a lot of hard work. We got there. Mm-hmm. It was fun, and we manifested it, and I'm using that as leverage for the rest of the stuff in our lives.
Yes.
So it feels awesome. Feels awesome. So, girlfriend, I think we need to start kind of wrapping things up and singing.
Yes.
So everybody needs
a good girlfriend.
Everybody needs a good girlfriend to make the wrong things right.
We'll get better at this soon.
Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Everybody needs a good girlfriend with a comforting hand to hold. Everybody needs a good girlfriend.